You're listening to a Prairie Punk House Companion right here on the Prairie Punk Press Network.
The views expressed by any host or any guest on the Prairie Punk House Companion are the personal views or opinions of the people who express them and do not reflect the views or opinions of anyone else on the show or any company, employer, or any other organization that the individual expressing them has or will affiliate with in the past, present, or future. Hey everybody, you're listening to a Prairie Punk House Companion. We are now on episode 51, and we're actually going to be talking about punk rock this episode instead of politics. Wild, I know. My name's Neckbone.
Hi, I'm Jerbear, and I got a new punk rock t-shirt.
Sweet. Can you tell us about it?
It's Lagrimas. It's my favorite current era punk rock band.
Sweet.
I've been waiting for them to release shirts again.
Yeah.
They've been sold out for a long time, and I just noticed they had new shirts up, so I got a shirt and like 10 patches and a couple stickers, and
where are they out of?
Stoked. LA.
Oh, okay. Posers.
But they're real good.
Yeah.
Everybody go check them out. They have a split with a band from Mexico City called Habak. That's
Nice.
Real good. Habak. I also have one of their shirts. They're super good. I want them to come through town ish again.
Yeah. Or at least Kansas City, at least. Or Oklahoma City.
That's
Yeah.
Ish.
Ish. Yeah. Nobody gets to Wichita.
So. Lagrimas played in Kansas City in,
yeah,
I think, September or October. I really wanted to go, but I just couldn't swing it.
Can we put links in the description to
Sure.
their music so people can find them easily?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Lagrimas and Habak, because they're both real good.
Awesome. Yeah. So we are actually talking about punk rock albums. For anyone who listens to our movie review podcast, our punk movie review, we're gonna try to do it kind of like that, but about two albums that influenced us greatly, and that even though they're very different types of punk, I both albums inspired me in very different ways. I don't know about you, but
yeah. Well, and I mean, the reason behind choosing the record that I did, Crass, Feeding of the 5,000, is because people nowadays like to claim that punk was never left wing and this is an intrinsically left wing record.
Which was released in 1978. So it's been left wing at least since then. I chose Less Talk, More Rock by Propagandhi. Because it was the first overtly political album I ever purchased. I bought it on vinyl the year it came out, which it came out in 1996. And I still have that vinyl. It has managed to stick with me. I think it's the only vinyl I still have that I bought when I lived in Wichita.
Oh, wow.
Because we left
That's
Wichita
crazy.
In 99. And I obviously kept buying vinyl through that whole time, but most of it's fallen off over the years, or lost it, or I left it somewhere, or a roommate has it, or whatever. But somehow I've managed to hang on to this one Propagandhi album.
Nice.
I didn't buy it because it was overtly political. I just bought it because I liked How to Clean Everything already. And then I heard one of the songs from this album on Survival of the Fattest, the Fat Records compilation. And I was like, well, that sounds awesome. I'm going to go buy that record. And I did, without even realizing that it was overtly political, because I was very militantly apolitical, which I guess was a thing back then. So, no longer. For those of you who have not listened to all of our other episodes, it's pretty obvious now.
The first time I heard Propagandhi was on that Survival of the Fattest CD and Nation States.
Yeah.
Incredible song. I was like, It's like if NoFX were serious about anything, blew my mind. I loved it. And that's, that specific song has stuck with me for, ever since I first heard it. Like, I would come back to it often. I mean, I think it's relevant to every political moment in my life since that point. I mean, and before, but
And I think it has one of the most memorable like intro riffs that I can think of in all of punk rock. Like where you're
dude,
just like, you're not gonna mistake that for anything else,
it's right
ever.
up there with Linoleum for intros. And even if you don't fucking like NoFX and Linoleum, that intro
Still
stands out.
recognize
Yeah,
it.
yeah. It stands out. It's super recognizable.
But yeah, so obviously, yeah, Feeding the 5,000 is by Crass. It was recorded and released in 1978. It is 31 minutes and 55 seconds long, so not a very long album. And it, of course, was recorded in London, because they're British, if that makes sense. And I'm trying to remember exactly the first time. I mean, obviously, the first song I heard was "Do They Owe Us a Living." I mean, that's the song that everybody. I think that's everybody's first Crass song. I mean, I don't know.
Or
Maybe it's
Banned
not
from the
yours.
Roxy.
Oh, Banned from the Roxy too, which they
One of
actually
those
were banned
two.
from the Roxy. That's why they
Right.
wrote the
Yeah.
song. Yeah, the
Yeah, for
Roxy kicked
sure.
them out for being too drunk, and they weren't even allowed to play there. So they are. If you look up the list of bands that played at the Roxy, they are not listed because they didn't get to play. Hence
Because
the
they're
song.
banned. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's even even a bigger claim to fame than actually playing at the Roxy,
Yeah.
which later became a little bit of trivia about the building, which is I can't remember what neighborhood in London it's in. Our British audience, could you jump in and let us know exactly in London the Roxy where it was located? But I did look it up, and it was at one point the flagship store for Speedo. So that's
Oh,
what it was
excellent.
after it was the
After
Roxy.
the Roxy. Nice.
I don't know what the fuck it is now.
Who cares?
Yeah.
It's not the Roxy.
It's not the Roxy, and it's not the flagship store for Speedo, unfortunately. I'm
Right.
sorry for all you Speedo enthusiasts out there.
So the starting track, the first track for Feeding of the 5,000 is Asylum, and it's just fucking noise,
It is. And
with I believe it's either Guy Voucher or Eve Libertine doing a spoken word. And it really sets the tone for the whole album. And my favorite line from it is probably Jesus died for his own sins, not mine. Yeah, it's just a really powerful and proper lead in to what's to come of this. It's in your face, it's gritty, and it's fucking pissed off.
As an ex-Catholic, I mean, this really spoke to me. And I didn't know this because I had always heard the album with that song on there. So the first pressing of the album from 1978, it's 2 minutes of silence
Oh, right,
instead of
because they
that.
made him remove it.
Right, because it was being pressed in Ireland and they found it blasphemous. Because those of you who don't know, I know Ireland seems all like cool and liberal and stuff now. But there is definitely an insane religious underbelly there that was the dominant culture in the 70s and 80s in Ireland, and they just refused to print it. So they just had 2 minutes of silence. So they
Yeah, I
repressed it
remember
in, I
hearing
think it
that
was
now.
81 with
Yeah.
Asylum on there, and I think they had it done in Britain that time so that they could actually get it pressed.
It was on their label, was it?
Did they do it on their own label?
I don't know
I
if
thought
it
that
is it.
because that was their first album. I thought they did that one on a, I thought they started their label after that.
Crass Records. It was on Crass Records.
It was on Crass Records? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So wow, they just jumped into their own label right off the bat. That's pretty awesome, actually. I didn't know that. So you of course know the name of the album, what that's a reference to then, because you just mentioned it.
I mean, basically, it's like, Jesus fed a bunch of people with one loaf of bread
Yeah.
and whatever, and fed 5,000 people
Yes. So
ish.
and a little bit deeper into that. So apparently when they sent the album off for pressing, the minimum amount that they could press was 5,000.
Oh,
And that's
nice.
how they decided on the name.
Oh, excellent.
Because they're feeding the 5,000, but they did joke later that they said it was probably about 4,900 too many for the audience they had. So,
At the time, maybe.
which I mean, I know that album is as old as we are, but it is, from what I've read, only a few hundred shy of hitting gold at this point.
Oh,
So,
really? Oh, good for
yeah, so I'm
them.
sure they
I mean, I
never
know
thought they'd
they
get
re-released it a couple
there.
years ago with like remastered, and there's, you know, some stories about Steve Ignorant being kind of a shithead about monetizing Crass, and the name and stuff, which is a bit hypocritical. But you know.
And I get it, but at the same time you gotta, I mean, at the same time you've gotta, you have to make money to survive, unfortunately.
Well, you know, and Penny was born into wealth and has a country estate. Granted, the
Oh
country
yeah.
estate, the Dial House, is, you know, open to whoever. It's basically a commune, which is fucking rad, but you know, Penny is, I don't think, ever had to worry about money. So
No. Yeah.
yeah.
Good for
And
him.
you know,
But at least
Steve Ignorant
he's
was definitely working class and poor and drunk, and I mean, at the time when they started Crass. The next track
Yeah,
is Do They
they're
Owe Us a
shockingly not
Living?
that old today. I mean,
Penny is in his
they're only in their
70s.
60s.
Penny's
Oh,
in
is
his
he in his 70?
70s.
Okay.
Yeah, he
Yeah.
was like 30 when they were doing this.
Oh,
He
so
was
he
one of
was
the old, he
older.
was
He was a
a,
little bit older.
yeah, he was a, I mean, he was an old hippie. And a lot of the ideals from that is what he brought to Crass. A lot of the politics and stuff was from their version of the hippie and yippie movement. I don't think there were as many yippies in England, but you know, I but much more
No.
radical than like the bullshit that was going on over here at the time. I mean, I don't know how many hippies actually were interested in anarchist theory
Not
back
many.
then.
I mean,
And
they're
it's,
all, I mean, look at what they're doing today.
well, yeah, they
So,
all sold out for sure in the
I
80s. I mean,
mean,
they started doing coke
they're
and wanted
all
to
ultra
make money.
conservatives, yeah. They became the yuppies, and now they're the ones who are talking about they're the ones with the fucking thin blue line flags and crap. So
Oh, Jesus.
they've fallen
I
pretty
would
far. I
like
don't know
one
if
of
they were ever
those.
that interested in politics. They just wanted to do a bunch of drugs and have sex because they were young. That's it. Yeah, they didn't actually ever believe in anything. I've always thought that about most hippies. Not all hippies. There are some hippies who do truly stand by. And we knew some in Wichita and Lawrence that truly stood by like ideals and things like that. But yeah, there. I also knew a lot of hippies who were just wanted to,
Bullshit.
do drugs and fuck a lot. And then now all of them are conservative or weird alt-right pipeline fucking weirdos.
Yeah,
So.
for sure.
I guess that's a pretty standard pipeline for hippies. You got two paths you can go down.
I mean, there's at least four for punks.
Probably at least two of those end up in weird right-wing crypto bro fucking places. And we have the privilege of being some of the very few Gen Xers who are still on the left. So, ugh, boy, our generation sucks, man.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, remember when we were all against consumerism in the 90s? Remember that? And it was just kind of the standard way of being. Oh, well, I guess that didn't mean shit. So, oh well. I would say both of the albums that we listened to, Feeding of the 5,000 and definitely Less Talk More Rock, are both albums that I would say I can listen to top to bottom without really feeling like I need to skip a track.
I'm not as familiar with Less Talk More Rock. But Feeding of the 5000s for sure. I mean they're all fucking bangers, dude. I have that written in my notes here. I mean I can't think of one that I would want to not listen to. They're all fucking
They are.
so good.
I really, really like the song Sucks.
Oh,
Like I think that's one of my favorite songs on the album. And that is on my that's on my one of my playlists. So I do hear that song quite a bit. But yeah, like I did start to think about because they talk about all the things that sucks and believing in anarchy in the UK. And I'm just wondering, like, was that a dig at the Sex Pistols? Because never mind, the Bollocks came out exactly 1 year before this album, so that would have been fresh in everybody's mind.
Well, yeah, I mean I mean on the song Punk Is Dead, I mean it's directly sneering at the Sex Pistols. And I think they actually mean that they believe in anarchy in the UK,
Oh yeah,
unlike the Sex
absolutely.
Pistols who thought it just sounded cool, which is literally what John Lydon said. I do so
Because
that
you
song
don't think John Lydon was reading
specifically, no.
Kropotkin?
One of the things in Sucks when it he does is it Sucks or is it Right Wing Left Wing, it's all the fucking same. Why did they conflate that and separate anarchy from a left wing ideology? I
That's
mean,
a good question.
were they not reading enough theory? Were they not reading
I
Kropotkin either?
mean,
Or is it just the political parties,
I think they're just talking about the
of
political party. I
the
don't know. I don't want to make any assumptions, but
it's just something
I will go
that
ahead and do that anyway. But I think they're talking about, yeah, like the Tories and Labour.
labor. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, that was my assumption, but it
yeah.
just struck it stuck out to me as something interesting that they say.
And they could also be trying to just like also like indicate that like that there's the only struggle is the class struggle. And so don't worry about like what wing, don't worry about what party you're supporting. Don't worry about whether or not you're supporting a party that claims to be left wing or a party that claims to be right wing, because they're not looking out for your interests either way. I could be wrong. I don't know. Maybe we should have Crass on and ask them.
So I don't know that we need to get into every single song and our thoughts on every single song. I think they're all so fucking good. They've Got a Bomb is one that always stands out to me, and the dead air in the middle of the song for however long it lasted, makes it so much heavier when it comes back in because it would at that time everybody did think the world could end at any fucking moment. It was a scary time for lots of reasons, but They've Got a Bomb really captures like the fear of mutual assured destruction by nuclear weapons. Some of the things I did want to talk about this record is how different it is from other punk music at the time and even still. It's a very snare drum and bass heavy record and band in general. The way Penny recorded them, there was a lot of focus on his like militaristic snare drum focused playing and the bass, and the guitars are more of just like a flavor in the background. They're not very prominent, and it's really interesting. And you know, maybe that might be why some people like Alex doesn't like it, because it's not guitar driven, and it you know, it's a lot of people think that it's shittier that they don't know how to play, but they're actually jazz musicians. You know, and I don't know the lore of how Steve Ignorant came into the mix. I read part of it, but yeah, it's really interesting. And then on Crass Records, Penny did all of the sound engineering and really pissed off a lot of bands by forcing them to record the sound that he wanted, which was a very crass sound and cut out a lot of the low ends, and was very kind of tinny sounding. And I mean,
I
that's
was
why
going to say,
Flocks of Pink
even.
Indians started their own record label, because they got pissed off at how Penny recorded them.
And even a Rudimentary Peni, who was on Crass too, like they very, very bass and snare drum heavy too. So that, and that kind of became the Crass sound, which I only found out about because, yeah, I mean, love them or hate them, they NOFX were making fun of them on their album. And so I did a little research and ended up really liking Crass and Rudimentary Peni and Flux of Pink Indians and stuff. So, yeah.
And you know, punk rock music was political before that. I mean, the Clash were political and left leaning. But Crass, I think, really challenged the punk ideology and put politics at the forefront of the music and the movement. And I think they really shaped what punk rock would turn into. I mean, their influence on you know, British punk rock music, from you know, Chumbawamba to Doom, Discharge, like they influenced the politics of so many bands, and really pushed the anarcho peace punk movement. I mean, they were militantly peaceful, you know, militant pacifists, you know, and it really laid a foundation for political punk moving forward from that point. I mean, any punk rock band with any fucking left wing politics is gonna have an influence from Grass. I mean, they're just going to.
Well, and I kind of like the like you're saying, the kind of tinny sound, the heavy bass, the snare drum being heavy snare drum. It does make it sound more militaristic. It makes it almost sound like some of the songs almost sound like a march, like you're marching into something.
Oh yeah, and you know, I was the first time I heard Crass, I was a little scared. Like it was an intimidating sound for punk rock, and you know, I was looking for that, like harder, meaner, like more aggressive punk rock music, and I had no idea that it was going to sound like Crass once I did, but it made so much sense. Like, you know, I was like, the heaviest thing I had listened to at that point was probably fucking The Exploited or something, which, you know, that
Same.
sucks. But
I used to
you
really
know,
like the Exploited.
and then I heard Crass, and I was like, whole, like I was expect like I was looking for like heavier, like more metal sounding punk rock, like the more heavy and aggressive, the better. And I heard Crass, and it like totally flipped what I thought punk rock was on its head. And I was like, holy shit. It blew me the fuck away. And Feeding the 5,000 isn't my favorite Crass record, but since it's their first one, I felt like it's the one that we should review.
Yeah, for
Just because
sure.
it influenced fucking so many bands that I love. And I think it's a really important record.
I'm guessing Penis Envy is your favorite Crass record, right? But yeah, talking about how punk has always been political, and you can consider this band a punk band or not a punk band, but I mean the Kinks were very working class and political,
Oh,
and they
fuck
formed
yeah.
in 1962.
Yeah,
Like,
for sure.
you could say that they're proto punk or pre punk or whatever the fuck. Okay, whatever. But they definitely inspired a lot of punk bands, and they definitely even their fucking Christmas song, Father Christmas, is about mugging Santa because you're too poor to afford anything.
Right.
And they're like, fuck the toys, give me the fucking money. Like,
Right.
I gotta buy food and shit. Like, when did punk get so political? It's like it's never not been.
Right. I mean, who starts musical movements? Like, who innovates music? It's usually poor kids. Like, who started hip hop? Who started rock and roll? Who started, I mean, aside from black folks, I mean, obviously, rock and roll wouldn't exist without black people. You know, it comes
Famously
from,
downtrodden
right. That's
people.
because that's where the emotion and the feeling is. Like you can't have that kind of music without real emotion and often pain and suffering. Poor folks only have so many outlets to express themselves, and luckily some of them were able to make music. One of the things that I noticed as I was re-listening to it and really paying attention is that different songs, Steve Ignorant enunciates better and some he enunciates worse. So I'm wondering if they like if he was getting progressively more drunk through the recording sessions, because like some songs I can't even understand it. It sounds like he has got marbles in his fucking mouth. I mean, I know he's got a thick Cockney accent or whatever, but like usually I can still pick stuff out, but some of it is just a garbled mess. It's funny. Like, it's not a complaint. It's just
But it makes it feel
an
more
observation.
authentic.
Oh, for sure.
They get progressively drunk as they're recording. You know, they probably had limited studio time too, so they probably couldn't do a whole bunch of takes. Because I think you have to pay by the hour for those studios, if I'm not
Probably.
mistaken. Yeah, they're
It was
probably
at
just like,
Southern Studio. I don't know what access was like at that point, or
So is there, this is going to be a weird question. This is going to be an even weirder question for me to answer because I am not a musician, but we do this for the movies, so we'll go ahead and do it for the music too. How would you make this album better?
I mean, I can't. I don't. I mean, what could make it better? I can't. I have a hard time imagining something making it better than what it is.
It's,
And I mean,
yeah.
it's hard because it's such a classic piece
Yeah.
of m music from punk rock history. How do you fuck with that? You know,
Right. It's
do
very
you know who?
authentic. It feels very authentic.
Do you know who
Yeah.
Jeffrey Lewis is?
Now, who's that?
He's an anti-folk musician.
Oh, okay.
He's a comic book artist as well.
Oh, cool.
But he put out a record called 12 Crass Songs, and he reimagined quite a few songs from this record. It's not just from this record. He's got some songs from Penis Envy on there too. He reimagines them, and you know, it's anti-folk. Crass, which is very, very silly, but also really good. That's just to say that you can't do anything to make the album better than what it is. You can reimagine it, you can do whatever, but you know, I mean, they remastered it and released it, I think, I want to say in like 2013,
It
something like
feels about
that.
right, yeah.
You know, and so they cleaned it up. So it sounds, you know, better. So no, I don't think, I don't know. I mean, it's a perfect fucking record.
Is there anything you don't like about it?
No.
Yeah, same.
I don't know. I don't,
And like I
yeah.
said, I haven't listened to this record top to bottom in probably, I don't know, probably 15 years, maybe. You know, I have various songs on my playlist, so I probably heard it out of order and shuffled into playlists in its entirety a few times over the last few years, but definitely not sat there and listened to it top to bottom in order. But I forgot how much I actually really, really love this album, just as an album, just to put on and listen to the whole thing. Because that's not really a thing that we do anymore, because even we do it. You know, this, I'm not trying to make this my old man yelling at cloud moment, but you know, we used to listen to albums top to bottom all the time. You'd put a record on and you'd play one side, you'd flip it and play the other side. Or you'd put a CD on and just let it play through the whole thing. You know, and we don't really, even we, even Gen X, we don't do that shit anymore. We just listen to playlists too, you know, or at least you and I do. I
Shuffle
don't know if
or
everybody
whatever.
does, but
I mean, I think
yeah.
that, you know, you
I
got
still
people
have my
like,
turntable.
you got people like Bookworm who will just listen to records all day, it
Yeah.
seems like, based on
Right. And
his A to Z posts. I don't have
I
time
have a
to do
turntable.
that.
I
I
have a
don't
turntable
have.
and I listen to it. Yeah. I just got a new record for Christmas. I got a new vinyl
Nice.
for Christmas. So my wife got me the repressing of MF Doom's Food,
I
which is
saw
one of
that.
his earlier albums. So yeah. So I have that. That's two vinyl. So four sides. It's the whole album.
Nice.
And it's fucking great. And like as I still have my Propaganda album, Less Talk More Rock, on vinyl that
Was
I've
it?
had since Wichita.
Is it a you or Leahy that had Heavy Petting Zoo on vinyl?
That was Leahy. He's got it on vinyl. I used to have it on vinyl a long time ago, but it's
I remember
gone
seeing that a
somewhere.
lot. And it's
Yeah.
different than, because I had the CD and it's different than the CD. It's
What scale do you want to use for crass?
like a black uniform or something, since they were so gnarly about like wearing all black and looking militant,
Yeah.
I don't know, like militant punk rockers or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, did you see there was a
Black
post on
armbands.
Facebook? What's that?
Black
Oh, black
armbands, that's
armbands,
what we
yeah.
should do.
Did you see the post on Facebook where somebody had a crass flag in their window and
Yeah,
somebody had
I
posted it and
did
was
see
like, I'm
that.
concerned because I'm worried there's a Nazi. And
Right. I
just
don't
like
I
that's funny.
is
It's just the
this is
crass logo.
concerning. This is
Right.
concerning. I don't know what this means. It could be dubious. Like, does
Right.
anybody
And
know what this means?
I
Fair
get it.
enough.
If I didn't know what the fucking crass logo was, I'd probably raise an eyebrow if I saw it too. I'd be like, oh
Fair
boy.
enough.
Yeah. Didn't they do that intentionally too? To like fuck with white supremacists though?
I no, I don't think so. I think it
Okay.
was it's a snake eating its own tail, and it's also like Xing out a cross, and it's
Yeah.
also there's a couple different meanings. I don't think it was poking fun at Nazis, though.
No, oh, okay. That's something that's just in my head canon then. I always thought it was, but I guess not.
Five black armbands.
Five black. Okay, out of five black armbands, how many black armbands would you give this record?
Six.
Oh, damn.
I
Okay. Okay. Well,
set the scale and then I broke it.
You did. That's very punk. But you know
Can't tell
what?
me what to do.
Things actually are measurable. So if there's only five of them, then there's only five of them. So I'm gonna go with five armbands
Oh,
because I
poser.
believe in physics, you bastard. So,
I
and then and of course, how punk would you? I feel like I already know the answer to this one for
mean,
both of us,
is
but
it even debatable? It's
right.
one of the most punk rock records ever pressed.
Yeah, it's upper crust as
It's
fuck.
for sure upper crust. Like, there's
Yeah,
no,
okay. That's not even an
it's not
argument.
even a debate.
Right. All right. We both agree on that then. But I do believe in physics, so I can only give it five armbands.
I believe in Swordfish. It's a Dead Milkman song. That's
Also
all I
a
know.
movie that was terrible.
Was it? Oh, Swordfish. Not I
Swordfish.
Believe in Swordfish. I was like, there's a movie called I Believe in Swordfish? I don't care how terrible it is. I've got to see it.
I wish that were the name of the movie. Now, yes, that's going to be my
Somebody go
knockoff
back
of
in
it.
time. Somebody go back in time and put the Dead Milkman in a movie in the 80s.
Then they can change the name of the movie too. That works. Wait, was that Nicolas Cage or was that John Travolta? Why do I always get them mixed up?
I don't even know. I thought it was like a Halle Berry movie or something. Am I thinking of
She's
something
in
else?
it. Yeah, she's in. I mean, that she
It's
famously gets
like
topless in that
Timothy
movie.
Dalton or something.
Timothy Dalton? No. No. Timothy
Oh,
fucking Dalton? No. I think he was already like, I mean, he's still alive, so I guess he wasn't dead,
I
but he
don't know, man.
wasn't Hot Fuzz. But no, he was not in Swordfish. Timothy Dalton. You pulled that name out of your ass, Jesus. I don't think I've thought about him since Hot Fuzz came out like 20 years ago.
Are you sure he's not? I'm
Yeah.
looking it up. John Travolta. All right, fine.
Okay, yes, John Travolta, Hugh Jackman, Halle Berry, Don Cheadle, Vinnie Jones, and Sam Shepard. There you go.
Timothy
No,
Dalton's in here
Timothy
too.
Dalton.
He's in it,
Yeah.
goddammit. He's in the background somewhere.
Is he?
No.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Vinnie Jones is the only British person in the movie, and he is no Timothy Dalton, my friend.
You
So,
are.
yeah, that's true.
I think there's only one, actually.
Now we're going to move on to Propagandhi's Less Talk, More Rock. Like I said, the album was released in 1996, and that album is 25 minutes and 57 seconds. So it is even shorter than The Feeding of the 5,000.
It is.
And I can't believe I forgot how short albums used to be. Like we said, we just listen to playlists now,
Right.
which can be fucking endless. So I don't even think I have playlists that are several hours long. So sometimes I forget how short albums used to be. So I actually today I listened to both albums twice. So because they're
Yeah.
both so short. So like I said, this was the first overtly political album I ever bought. I don't think I understood that it was overtly political when I bought it. I just liked Propagandhi. I like Nation States, which was on Survival of the Fattest, which is, like we said, one of the most recognizable riffs in all of punk rock, in my opinion. There are a few people who would hear that and not know what the fuck that is if they listen to punk, especially if they listen to like skate punk and shit.
Right.
So I still have the vinyl that I bought in 1996. Miraculously, it is the only album I have that I bought in Wichita when I still lived in Wichita that I still have today that I still listen to occasionally on my record player. So we have our Propagandhi story, which we've told on previous episodes, was we were supposed to see them in 2001. It was not for their Less Talk More Rock tour. It was actually their Today's Empires, Tomorrow's Ashes tour because that was
Oh, yeah,
in
that makes
2001,
sense. Yeah.
which is also a great album, but it doesn't hold a candle to Less Talk More Rock. But that happened on September 11th, 2001, was when we were supposed to go see them at, where were they playing? The Bottleneck
Bottleneck, yeah.
in Lawrence, Kansas.
The fucking bottleneck, too. God
Yeah.
damn.
I mean, we saw Citizen Fish at the Bottleneck and we got to
Yeah.
actually hang out with Dick Lucas.
Yeah.
So that would have been a great fucking venue to see them. But of course, September 11th happened. The Twin Towers, for those of you who don't know what happened on September 11th, 2001. So they went back up to Manitoba. They left the country. Can't blame them. I probably would have done the same thing in their shoes. So I eventually got to see them in 2012 when they were on their failed States tour, which I think I still
Oh,
have a
nice.
t-shirt from. Miraculously enough, it has survived since 2012. I saw them at the Jewish Mother in Virginia Beach. And that is also a relatively small venue, not as small as the Bottleneck. But I did actually get to like talk to them after the show very briefly.
Oh, nice.
So I did
I imagine
finally
they
get
were
to
pretty
go.
nice.
They're super cool. Super
Yeah.
cool. And I had been drinking a little bit, so I asked them,
Oh.
I did ask them, why the fuck? Don't get me wrong, I'm glad you played here because I was living in Virginia at the time. And I was like, why the fuck did you play in Virginia Beach, Virginia? And they're like, I think their response was something like, we like to go, wherever people want to see us. We don't really care about like where that is specifically. They're like, punk rockers in Virginia Beach want to see us too, so we're gonna come play for them. And I
Okay,
was
yeah.
just like, yeah, it's fucking super cool. Like, yeah, they're not looking for specifically the high profile cities. They're looking to go where they feel they have an audience, or where they feel like they can people want to come and see them. And of course, Virginia Beach is, for people who don't know, a famously
For
conservative
lovers.
city. So it's
Oh.
for lovers. But that's where the 700 Club films in Virginia Beach. That's where
Gross.
yeah, the university that the 700 Club owns, that I don't know, Google it. I don't remember the name of their university. They have their university there. They have anti profanity laws in Virginia Beach that I feel are
What?
unconstitutional. So if you can get a ticket for cursing on the actual beachfront. So on the strip, like right by the actual beach, if you're caught cursing there, they can issue you a ticket.
For
Yeah.
what?
For profanity. Yeah.
That just makes me want to go there and swear a bunch.
It's very unconstitutional. I don't know if they still have that law. This was back in, like I said, like 2012 when I lived
Yeah.
there.
Fuck that
So
shit.
if any of our Virginia listeners are listening right now, and I do still, I think I do have some friends who listen to this occasionally, who I hung out with when I was out there. Yeah, let me know if those Virginia Beach laws are still on the books, or if those have been struck down, because they fucking should be, because that
Yeah.
is blatantly unconstitutional to have
Right.
profanity laws. And I know, I remember people telling me like, oh, you'll feel differently when you're a dad. And I'm like, I fucking don't still. So I'm a
Yeah.
dad
The
now.
fuck
Don't feel any
I
different.
do.
Right. So, but yeah, so that's glad I got to finally see them. And like I said, I had loved, so I first heard How to Clean Everything, because, Jake owned it. And he had the C, I think he had the CD of it. So it was that apartment, that Oliver Square apartment. They'd always play that CD. So, I was just like, oh, that album fucking rocks. But How to Clean Everything, great album. I do love it. But there was a lot of like,
It's very silly.
it's very silly. And there is, it's still skate punk, but it's creeping into like almost jock rock territory a couple of times.
I think that was intentional.
Yeah,
I
it
think it was
was, but
mockery of that.
it was mocking them, but it was also drawing that crowd a little bit too.
And maybe that's why Jake had it.
Probably, but it was a great fucking album. And then I heard, Survival of the Fattest, and of course, Nation States was on that. And I was like, oh, this song's even better than their fucking shit on How to Clean Everything. I want
Yeah.
this fucking album.
I think there's only two good songs on that compilation.
Yeah, and that's one of them.
That and Vincent, the Vincent cover by NoFX.
That was really
I
good.
think those are the only two good
Yeah.
songs in my opinion.
Those Fat Records compilations, I loved them back in the day, but
Yeah, they don't hold up.
they don't hold up, man. Yeah, there's a couple good songs here and there.
Yeah. I only
Yeah,
had that
Nation
one.
States is obviously the standout one that still
No,
fucking is
yeah,
awesome today.
for sure.
So Chris Hanna, he described the album as a conscious decision to be more confrontational, and noting the presence of the term gay positive on the album cover. So he said the album was expressly political and gay positive to weed out jocks and bros who had come into their audience.
No, good.
So the reason they made the album, the reason that they made it overtly political, and they even have a song on there where they have, I mean, I wouldn't say graphic, but very overt, like gay sex references. They were doing that to kind of distance themselves from some of the bros who had kind of started listening to them, because they were starting to, I think they felt they were starting to creep into like the same territory as like Goldfinger and like Less Than Jake and fucking Sublime and shit. Like, I think that's the audience they were
What
attracting.
immediately popped into my mind was Pennywise.
Pennywise, yeah. That's,
You know, and
yeah.
just thinking of what a fucking asshat Fletcher
I
is.
still fucking hate Pennywise. I hated them
Oh,
back
dude.
then. I hate them
Yeah,
today.
they
I've never
fucking
liked Pennywise.
suck. They're
They
fucking
fucking suck
terrible.
so bad.
God, they're fucking
Jesus.
terrible. Yeah, that's what I immediately thought of was like meatheads like fucking Fletcher from Pennywise, like
And that's exactly who they
gross.
didn't want.
Yeah.
But yeah, the very overtly political gay sex references. It's on the third track, which is the same name as the album, Less Talk More Rock, is the song where he references gay sex experience. I don't know, man. Like this album, it fucking this album went hard for me when I first heard it. It's still one of my favorite albums overall. I've just and part of that is probably due to like sentimental attachment to it. But it's just like Feeding of the 5,000. It's on my short list of albums I can listen to top to bottom without feeling like I really need to skip a track. And even
I
the
never
tracks I used to skip, like I used to skip that Shell, where they're reading the message from the Shell Petroleum Company. I don't skip that anymore because it's I think I can appreciate it now, but back in the day when I was young and I was just like, just get to the fucking music.
Let's talk more rock.
Let's talk more rock.
I don't know why I could, because I did love Nation States so much, but I never got this record and I never intentionally listened to it all the way through. So
Oh,
but
interesting.
there are some that obviously are in my playlist. The only good fascist is dead fascist.
Oh yeah. I was a preteen
I'm a PC.
McCarthyist.
I'm a
Oh
preteen fa or apparently I'm a PC fascist.
yeah, that's a good song.
Anchorless. Not really a propaganda song. I mean, that's just a weaker than song. And John K. Samson is a delight. I when did he leave to focus on the weaker thans? Was it
It was after this
that
album, right after this
that's what I
album.
thought. I mean,
This is the last album he was on, yeah.
on and I don't think it was, I don't think there was any acrimony or anything like that. I think everybody was just like, hey man, you seem to want to do emo, and he's like, hey, I kind of want to do this emo thing, and so they amicably parted ways. But like even on How to Clean Everything, the one song, what's it called? I don't remember. The two of them sing, Chris Hanna and John K. Samson.
Oh yeah. I'll have to look it up because I have not listened to How to Clean Everything in so fucking long.
Oh, I listened to that way more than Less
Oh
Talk.
really?
But
It's
anyway,
flipped for me.
I mean, that's like a push and pull between them, obviously, like John singing about girls and Chris singing about
Oh right. Yeah,
fucking
that's the
politics.
song where they're like singing about like political stuff and then he's like girls with the greenest eyes.
It's very silly.
It
Very
is,
silly
yeah.
record. I love it. But I guess there's only so many people to play with in Winnipeg,
Right. It's
right?
I mean, yeah, I think Winnipeg is like the Wichita of Canada. So I
Yeah,
mean, it's probably a
probably.
pretty limited pool of musicians to play with up there.
And just a couple more asides from me. The song Less Talk, More Rock, also the musically, it sounds like it's mocking like beatdown hardcore music. It sounds like meathead rock, and I think that's part of what it's doing
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
well. And there's a,
Because they're
you know, how
referencing gay sex in there and making it meathead rock at the same time. I
right,
fucking love
yeah,
it.
like I never got into East Coast hardcore. It was fucking jock rock to me. It sounded like a bunch of fucking meatheads that were just trying to prove how big their dicks were or whatever. And I couldn't give less of a fuck about that. And so that's kind of what that, like, this is probably the first time I've heard that song intentionally. So, like, very different experiences, you and I, reviewing this record. I was a teenage McCarthyist. Is that where Against Me got the name of their song? I was a teenage anarchist.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that's just coincidence or
I
if they were
doubt it
listening
is. I don't
to this
know.
album. Yeah. But like, I don't know. Yeah, like I was a preteen McCarthyist. I really, because I mean, they're about our age. I mean,
The 5 or 10 years older than us, maybe. I
yeah,
think 5 years
probably
older than
5 years
us.
older than us. Yeah, but I mean, they grew up in the 80s. We were like little kids in the 80s, and they were like probably in high school in the 80s. And I know that they're, Canadian and stuff, but like the Cold War hit hard. It hit Canada too. They couldn't escape it. So it just, I was a preteen McCarthyist. Is just like it's. I remember all that shit being taught in school of like, the commies are bad, and having like the drills where you'd have to go sit in the hallway with your hands
Oh, duck
over
and cover.
duck and cover
That's not gonna
in
fucking do
case the
shit.
nuke hit, because that's really gonna fucking help you. Like, oh, cool. Oh, the nuke would have killed you, but thank God you were under this desk. That's what saved you. Everybody knows only refrigerators can save you from a nuclear attack.
The song Public Disservice Announcement, that's the one about Shell. That really, like, that reminded me of something like Chumbawamba might do, only it was like if Chumbawamba and NOFX decided to make a record together, that would be like the opening track of it. Because it's like goofy music, and but then like the Shell shit, it's very interesting. There's a lot of, to me, there's a lot of like NOFX with like if they gave a shit on this record. And that's not trying to diminish fucking Propaganda at all. I know they're their own band and they're probably sick to death of hearing NOFX comparisons, but like it I can't help it. I think it's better than NOFX.
It's definitely well, especially this album, it's less silly than NOFX. Whereas How to Clean Everything was kind of more in that we're just being silly, we're kind of
I mean, there were
silly,
some good
immature.
politics on that record for sure. I mean, but I think also it was a bit more abrasive than, I mean, I know Chris Hanna doesn't want to play some of those songs anymore because it's punching at the wrong people. Like they won't play Ska Sucks anymore because, who are ska kids hurting? Nobody.
Well,
And the Holly Solisi
and Scott Kids, and the whole, a message to you, Rudy, fuck you, Rudy, like is, it's punching down to like black working class Caribbean people. And you're like, why? Like, if you don't like it, don't listen to it. That's fine. But
And I mean, and they were kids then, and this album shows some maturity for
Yeah, for
sure.
sure.
There's another Weaker Than song on there. I think it's called Gifts. I think it's funny how after Anchorless they do like a fucking thrash metal rager right after that. It's pretty good. It's a 39-second like thrash song. So good.
It's fucking great. And like you said, the only good fascist is A Very Dead Fascist is one of my favorite tracks on the album. And I don't think I understood the whole like kill 'em all and let a Norse god sort 'em out thing until much later in my life.
So when we were dealing with Nazis, the neo-Nazis in Wichita were all Catholic. They all were Irish and had lots of Irish pride, wore that on their sleeves, and did not have a lot of Norse mythology in their hatred.
No, it was all Christian. And here's the thing. Here's the weird thing is like, even now when you see You see the Nazis and white nationalist people being interviewed, and they have all this pagan iconography around them, Norse pagan specifically, usually, but also some Celtic pagan stuff thrown in there. Like they're just kind of grabbing Western European ancient religions and kind of just the mixed bag. But they do use a lot of that iconography. And they'll ask them, like, "Are you pagan?" They're like, "No, I'm Christian." And you're like,
What the fuck are you doing?
at a certain time in the world, if you'd showed up to a Christian village with all that pagan shit all over you, they would have burned you at the fucking stake. Like, you,
Well,
that doesn't make any
that's
sense. Christians killed people if they refused to convert from paganism. So you using pagan iconography and then claiming to be a Christian makes no fucking sense. It's kind of like those Confederate fuckers claiming they're patriotic Americans while waving a Confederate flag. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and that's not even to say that Christianity started in the Middle East, so it wasn't even started by white people, you dumb
Well, it
motherfuckers.
wasn't. No. Christianity was an offshoot of Judaism. That's what it was. It's what it is. So it's interesting. Well, I mean, we could go on about their lack of knowledge on
Intelligence.
history all day and just their weird made up history that they have. But yeah, the whole kill them all, let a Norse god sort them out. Like, it definitely, like, it makes more sense now. I don't think I understood it back then. I just thought it was a cool line. And I was like, yeah, that does sound cool. Because even when I was apolitical, I still hated Nazis. So, because, yeah, I'm not an
Because
asshole.
Nazis fucking suck, right?
I mean, they're so obviously, they suck so bad, so obviously, that even apolitical people can recognize it. So.
There was a ice protest in Wichita, and there's a video going around of
I
this
saw it.
dude. Oh, you did? In a homemade balaclava, throwing sea kyles and saying all kinds of fucking hateful shit.
Yeah, he was saying like 1488 and
No, I
all
mean
that shit.
he was dropping N bombs. He was saying
I kept waiting for a fist to go across his face. I was
dude,
like,
I don't know
somebody
why it
punch
didn't
his
fucking
ass.
happen. I mean, somebody was in his face filming him, but didn't knock his ass out. Somebody should have fucking decked
It's
his
a
ass.
matter of time. It's a matter of time.
I want
I
him to come to
keep
one of
doing
our
it. Keep doing
shows.
it. I like
Come to one of our shows.
I like my Nazis to go ahead and wear their swastika armbands so I
Fuck
can
yeah.
pick them out. So I want to pick them out real easily. Come, show your Nazi pride. Show up. We should probably get back to talking about punk rock records.
I mean, it's hard not to talk about Nazis when you've got a song called
But
Damn a good
yeah, like
fascist is a very dead fascist.
the people, the only people I know today who consider themselves to be modern pagans of, Celtic or Norse or whatever, like, they're all leftist hippies, like the ones who are actually like claim that religion. So,
Well, I mean, there's also where's the hate come from in that religion? Like, it's not there.
It's not that, well, they didn't have
It's
modern concepts of, the modern concepts of race didn't exist back then.
right.
So they would be
No, it
like,
was an invention for the slave, specifically for the slave trade.
I would
Like,
love for one of these fuckers to go back in time and like show up to a Norse village and be like, "Hey, Western brother." And they'd be like, "The fuck are you talking about? Who the fuck are you?" Like,
In their language, he's different than us. Let's kill him.
Exactly. They'd be like, they didn't care if you were from Britain or sub-Saharan Africa. You were still an outlander either way. Like, it didn't make a fucking difference. So apparently, and I have never heard of this publication before, so take this with a grain of salt. So it's a publication called the Phoenix New Times. So this album was actually ranked sixth on their 10 best political punk albums of all time. So
Do you
number
know what was
six for
number
the,
one was?
I don't know. I guess I'd have to look at the article.
Well, now I'm curious.
I'll find out if it's behind a paywall. Well, I'll
Oh.
post in the description if
All
it's not
right.
behind a paywall. But yeah, this is also the so this album is one of the reasons why I started getting a little more political, actually, eventually after I listened to it enough times, because I always made fun of, the punk kids who'd get political Obviously not all of them, like you didn't grow up with a great deal of wealth or anything, but like a lot of them would be like, you know, they'd be suburban privileged white
Oh,
kids for the
for
most
sure.
part.
Yeah.
And it was the line in fuck, what song was it? It was the State Lottery, which is also a great song, where he says, "And yes, I recognize the irony. The system I oppose affords me the luxury of biting the
Yeah.
hand that feeds. That's exactly why privileged fucks like me should feel obliged to whine and kick and scream, yeah, till everyone has everything they need." And that really
Yep.
resonated with me. And I was like, okay,
Fuck yeah.
well, maybe I should actually use my privilege to help other people instead of being like, well, fuck, I'm just like, why am I chiming in? Like,
Yeah. For
especially
sure.
now.
You know, and that makes me wonder about our scene. Because you know, a lot of scenes do have like trust fund suburban kids coming in and being a part of it, you know, looking for the aesthetic and shit like that. But like, that wasn't us. Like, we were all poor fucking, like, we were all poor kids. Like,
Well, I grew up middle class, but
but you know, like the Fannings, I mean, not poor, I guess, but not certainly
Not
not
rich.
rich and not super duper privileged other than being white, at least for me. You know, I'm thinking of a couple other people, like the Fannings had, like, I think their folks were doing pretty good,
Yeah,
but
they were like,
you
I
know,
think
they
they were like
still
middle
had,
class too, I think. But we definitely weren't when we moved out of our parents' house.
fuck
Because I
no.
think them, like me, once we moved out, it was, well, you're on your
Well,
fucking
you're on your own
own.
now. Yeah.
Like, I didn't have, you know, and I know they didn't either have like our parents paying our rent or anything like that.
Right. Or
Oh,
well,
right.
and privilege. They got kicked out, so like they were cut off, like at
Oh,
that point.
yeah.
Like they were fucking up real
I didn't really
bad.
get kicked out, more of I just turned 18 and my parents were like, time to moving out, or you're paying rent, or you know, because they had a plan for me and I was not following that plan. But yeah, they wanted me to you know, graduate high school and get decent grades and get into a standard university and you know, marry somebody
Join
that
the
I met
military.
there and you know, yeah, just start having kids and like immediately. And that's why they never, you know, like I've said before, I think I've said this in previous episodes, they never taught me how to cook or do my laundry or anything like that. Cause they're like, well, you're just gonna get married and your wife's gonna do that. So like, when I moved out, I couldn't fucking take care of myself because I was like, what do I need to do? What do I do? Like, because I grew up middle class and like my mom always did my laundry and then obviously my wife was going to take over. And then I didn't get married till I was 40. So I had to kind of figure some shit out in between. So once I moved out, it was either, you know, either you start paying rent or you move out. And I was like, well, if I'm going to pay rent, then I'm. Why the fuck would I live with my parents and still have a curfew and rules and pay rent for that? So that's when we got the apartment on Harry,
2721.
everybody lived there at some point, it seemed like. But yeah, once I was out, and I think same for the Fannings, we lost that middle class privilege pretty fucking quickly, and we were got hard lessons on how to scrape by pretty fucking quickly. My job at Pizza Hut,
I wonder
the
if
money for
that's
that didn't
why.
go nearly as far when I was paying rent and bills as it did when I didn't have to pay those. So,
I wonder if that's why our scene was more tight and not shitty to people, because we couldn't afford to be shitty. I mean, we had to have community to make it.
Well, and that seemed to be a lot of people's experience, like Aaron M too. Like he grew up middle class, but once he was out of his parents' house, like working at a fucking gas station and like living on couches and shit. Like it's so weird that we're from that, you know. I don't want to be my second old man yelling at cloud moment on the show, but yeah, we didn't really. I feel like our entire generation didn't have that support of, even though we grew up middle class, once we turned 18, our parents were like, go out into the world and do something without ever teaching us even how to do that. That was the thing. It wasn't, use the skills we've taught you to go out and be successful. It was, we didn't teach you shit. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like, and so you're sitting here scrambling, trying to just figure out how to live. And you know, whenever boomers complain about how people don't know how to do things, you're supposed to teach those things. That's how
Right.
people learn. I
Yeah.
teach my son things so he knows things. I don't just
Right.
expect him just to figure it the fuck out.
Right.
Like that's a harsh lesson for the boomers. Who do you think gave us those participation trophies? We didn't mold them ourselves at 6 years old.
Right.
So that was
Or
y'all. So
nor did we want them.
nope. Mine. And my mom was sad when she was like, "What do you want me to do with your trophies after I was already long out of the house?" And I was like, "You still fucking have those? Because I played Little League baseball. Nobody cares.
Right.
Nobody cares."
Yeah.
That's one of the problems of our generation is we're directing our anger the wrong direction. We're directing it at the millennials and the people younger than them. And we need to
Yep.
direct it back at the people who raised us and failed miserably to teach us basic things.
Right. Or
Yeah.
just realize
I
that
mean, it's this.
the generational divide is a construct
It is.
based on dividing us and marketing to us.
You know, we were born in the late 70s, so we have way more in common with elder millennials than we do with people,
Yeah.
elders of our own generation.
For
How much do we have in common
sure.
with somebody born in 19 fucking 62? Nothing.
Not much. Not fucking
Absolutely
much at
nothing.
all.
Yeah,
Yeah.
thank God. Those are all the people who are voting for Trump because they had lead in their water. Oh yeah, weren't we talking about punk rock albums?
Well,
Right.
yeah, we're talking about less talk, more rock.
So yeah, less talk, more rock. Definitely. I would consider this. I know that Propagandhi is considered a pop punk band. I would call this a skate punk album.
Yeah, I wouldn't call, I don't know. I mean, what's
I
the
know it's a
distinction between
right.
skate punk and pop punk?
I think skate punk to me, and this is just my own. This
Is
is
it a
Neckbone's own
DB?
definition. This is just from my head. So take it with a grain of salt. But for me, skate punk has a poppy sound, but is a little more authentic. Whereas pop punk is a little more, yeah,
Mall
like more of
rock.
that, like, I met a girl and she doesn't like me. Like, that's to me, that's pop punk. That's a
Yeah.
lot of screeching weasel is pop punk.
Like incel bullshit.
Right. Yeah. It turns into that eventually, sure. But yeah, and a part of that is too because all the people I knew who had this, because I knew people who had this on tape too, but all the like skater kids from East High where I went, I mean, I would sit there and hang out and smoke cigarettes, but they would go skating under the Douglas Street Bridge and they'd play this fucking album on their boombox while they're skateboarding. So for, I don't know, I just always associated this album with skateboarding too. So maybe that's just me. So I guess, should we go ahead and do our reviews of this album now that we talked about it?
Sure.
Have we beaten it to
Yeah,
death enough?
I think so.
Okay. Just because we did it with Crass too. I wouldn't change anything about this album, even the poppier songs. I like them. I think they fit in well. I think they add to the flavor of the album overall. What metric should we use?
Hockey pucks.
Hockey. Oh, 'cause they're Canadian. I get it.
Well, and they have a song about hockey too.
They do. All right. So because we did a low number for the last one, let's do a high number. So they're from a town called Portage-la-Prairie. Let's do the
Okay.
population of that town, which is 13,270. So how many hockey pucks would you give it out of 13,270?
I'll just go with the round number of 13,000.
Okay, that's good. That's a solid album. I'm gonna give it 13,269. Nice. Because I wanted to say 69, and also nothing's
Nice.
perfect, but this is
Meh.
damn close. So
I
yeah.
think we just said feeding the 5,000 was perfect, though.
Yeah, but that was on a scale of five. That's
Oh,
tough.
okay.
That's a
Okay, gotcha.
huge chunk off if you only give it four. You
Yeah.
gotta be a real
Fair.
asshole to give that album
Fair.
four out of five.
All right, I gotcha. I
Yeah.
gotcha. I gotcha.
And you have to be just out of your fucking mind if you're giving it six out of five.
I think that I'm more punk than you.
I don't know. What would you, speaking of punk, since this is a punk rock podcast, how would you rate this album on our punk scale?
It's pretty fucking punk.
It is.
But like, it's not crusty.
It's not crusty, but that's a scale more than it is,
I mean,
you
that's
know.
true. All right, I'll go with upper crust.
Yeah, same, upper crust. Boom. All right, we're gonna have to do, in the future, we're gonna have to do worse albums than these.
Oh, I want to do an Outcome the Wolves.
Okay. That's definitely a worse album than both of these albums. So that's, don't get me wrong. There are songs I like on that album, sure, but it is not
That
top to
just
bottom
means that I'm
good.
gonna have to listen to it.
You're gonna have to listen to And Outcome the Wolves.
I just fucking did this to myself.
There are good songs on there. I think it's been a while since
There's
I've
like
listened to it.
20 songs on that record too.
Yeah, but they're all like a minute, so.
So
Okay, that's not a good one. That song sucks. I fucking hate that song so much.
marble mouth motherfucker.
That and Ruby Soho was like, I think, wasn't that their hit song from the album? Yeah, that song is fucking awful. It's god awful.
That and Time Bomb.
Yeah, oh, Time Bomb. Oh, Jesus Christ. Rancid has some good songs, but it was none of the ones that they promoted. They're all like the ones that are like hidden in the background, you know. Of those albums. There are still, I will stand by it, there are still some good Rancid songs. Yeah.
We have gotten a fair amount of submissions, so I think the next one we should review, maybe we'll do one of our picks and one of listener pick.
Okay. What listener picks have we gotten? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Let me go look.
Okay.
I know Alec, who is a Patreon, sent us one of his friends' albums.
Oh, cool. Okay. And he actually sent the album. Okay, cool. So we can listen to it.
Bandcamp link,
Oh, cool. Okay.
if I can get words out. Fiesta Comes Alive, Randall Avicus. Apologies if I fuck up your name. I'm not an English scientist. No Means No Wrong. Stress Palace Paradise, that's from Alec. Metamodern Sounds in Country Music from Harvey Mushman. Is that, did Johnny change his name?
Probably. That sounds like a Johnny pick.
Marky Moon, that's Aaron's pick.
Cool.
And the shit split.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. We probably should do that one. And then because of you, we now have to do And Out Come the Wolves.
Fuck.
And because of you, I'm gonna have to re-listen to that album and admit to myself that it's not as good as I remember it being.
Dude, it fucking sucks.
There's, as you're mentioning the songs, I'm like, fuck, I hate that song. God damn it. Do I not like Rancid as much as I thought I did?
I fucking threw that shit out my window.
That's funny. You could have used it as a
It's
coaster.
bad.
Yeah.
No.
I loved that album back in the day when I
Oh,
was
so
like
did I.
16, man,
Oh,
playing Zelda and fucking listening to that fucking
I was
album.
playing Sonic
Yeah.
and listening to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And it was before I knew who Operation Ivy was,
Yeah, me
and it
too.
was my first like introduction to ska adjacent music.
All right, I gotta now. I gotta look at some of the. I gotta look at the actual tracks on the fucking album. So I think actually, oh yeah, the I think it was the album before that that I liked better. Let's Go was
Let's
the one that
go.
I think. Yeah, that's right. It wasn't An Outcome the Wolves. Let's Go was the one that I listened to when I was playing Zelda, which has, oh, it has way better songs on it. I mean, still has some misses, quite a few misses, but
Well, and
definitely.
I don't, if Lars Fredriksson was in the band, he wasn't as prominent as
Yeah.
in An Outcome the Wolves. I don't
Oh,
know
he
what it
is
is
on
about
way more
dude.
songs
I
on
don't know
this.
what it is about him, but he just, I just find him so fucking irksome. Like,
So, yeah,
ugh,
on Let's
Jesus.
Go, he only wrote two songs,
Which ones?
Nihilism and Saint Mary.
Right, cool.
And on And Out Come the Wolves, he wrote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 songs out of 19. Scientific evidence that Lars Fredriksson is the one who makes that band suck.
I commented on somebody's post about Rancid that like Lars Fredriksson ruined Rancid, and a mutual friend of ours mocked me saying that.
The evidence
I
speaks
mean,
for itself.
maybe he was saying that there was nothing to ruin to begin with,
Maybe you
but
could interpret it that way.
that's not the way I interpreted it. I would
Yeah.
appreciate it more if that was the case, because
Right.
even Let's Go has some stinkers on it, and
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
self-titled, man, I listened to the self-titled record a couple years ago just to like, is Rancid as bad as I think?
Yeah.
And boy, Matt sure can play guitar, but boy, can he not sing. Hell of a bass player, terrible
Yeah.
singer.
Well, I think that was the thing that I always liked about Rancid is I loved the way that their bass sounded.
Oh, dude, he is an incredible bass player.
What was that song?
Just
Maxwell Murder, where he like has that insane. That's one of the only good songs.
solo.
Actually, now that I'm looking at it, it's one of the only good songs on And Out Come the Wolves is Maxwell Murder. It's because of that fucking bass solo. That bass solo is
The rest of the
crazy.
song sucks, but that bass solo is
Yeah.
like great. Yeah,
Yeah.
he's an incredible bass player. Too bad it's wasted on fucking Rancid. Boy, I did love them though in 1994.
Oh yeah. Everybody had those records.
When did Wolves come out? 95?
95, yeah.
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 I had a Rancid shirt.
Oh yeah, me too. I think I actually got an Outcome the Wolves shirt when that came out.
Oh, really?
If I remember right, yeah.
I never had a NoFX shirt.
Yeah, I had one. I had a Punk and Drublic.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I never had one. I don't know if I ever. I
I
didn't
had a
have a Dead
Screeching
Kennedy
Weasel shirt
shirt.
too.
Of course you did.
And a Vandal shirt, because those are the
Oh,
bands I
yeah.
liked. So I
I
think
think I
I was
remember
living
your
with you when
Vandal
I had that
shirt.
Vandal shirt. Yeah.
Well, we listened to what? Live Fast Diarrhea?
Yeah, that
Is that
sounds
the one we
right.
listened to a lot? The one with
Yeah.
Ape Drape and
Yep.
shit on it.
Yep.
Shame about that band.
I know. They are
Shame about their politics.
yeah. They are just fucking Republicans for some fucking reason. And here's the thing about the Vandals is, when we were watching for our other podcast and we were watching Suburbia, I was like, oh fuck, like really old Vandals is actually really good.
Well, that's the Vandals I liked, because I got this comp, because I didn't know what to buy when I was young, when I first got into punk. So I would buy a lot of samplers and shit. I got one called Slam Chop or something like that, and it had old Vandals on it. It had Cowboy. I Want to Be a Cowboy, Anarchy Burger, whatever. The one about running over a cop, Pat Brown.
Yes, yeah, love that song.
And
Yeah.
then through that, I went and got the what is it, When in Rome or Peace Through
Yep.
Vandalism or
When in
whatever.
Rome. I
I
had
got
that
that,
CD. Great album.
and it had, I mean, it, I don't I mean, it's
I don't know if it holds up, but
political-ish. It's political-ish.
yeah.
It's wasn't quite as silly as Live Fast Diarrhea, that's for sure. It had a
Right.
harder edge.
Yeah.
But that Southern California 80s scene was pretty
Yes,
gross.
it's bad. And that's the exact kind of shit I used to like, man. Like I used to be. I mean, I think that's just a sign of maturity too. I think that's just where I was, just in my life, just very, like I said, like I was never taught anything, just
Same.
I was, yeah, I was just lived in a very conservative household. And let's see. Oh, it was the album with Ape Drape. Oh yeah, Ape Drape is on Hitler Bad, Vandals Good.
Okay, that's the one we used to
Yeah.
listen to. I don't, maybe I haven't heard Live Fast Diarrhea then,
Yeah, I did have
because
Live Fast Diarrhea too. You probably heard it when when we lived on Main Street. I did have that on
maybe.
CD too. And Fear
I
of a Punk
only
Planet. I had Fear of a Punk Planet.
I don't remember that one.
Oh boy, yeah, the boy. Looking at the track listings, Fear of a Punk Planet. There is a song called "Girls Turn 18 Every Day." So,
Oh,
yeah.
come on.
In my defense, I was 18 when that album came out, so they were my age. But these were also grown men who were not my age who were writing these songs. So, yeah, kind of weird for the Vandals to release
I'm
that.
looking this up, and I don't think that When in Rome is the Vandals record I had. I think I had Peace Through Vandalism. Yes, that's the one I had.
I remember that one, and fuck, I think I had that one too. It's not
I
listed
think
on the
that's the shirt you
discography.
had
Yeah.
was
But I
that
remember that
logo.
fucking album.
That I want to be a
Oh
cowboy.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a cowboy.
Oh, there we go. Peace Through Vandalism. Okay. I don't know why it's not on our discography, but it, yeah, here it is. Yeah, I definitely,
Pat
yep,
Brown,
that's the fucking shirt I had. Absolutely.
Anarchy Burger.
Yeah.
I do remember Master Race from in Outer Space. And that's it. And Joe Escalante used to be the drummer. I mean, it makes sense they're Republicans. They're from Orange County, so
And I think, yeah, Joe
gross.
Escalante is a big old Republican, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's on, yeah, he's on Fox Nation. Okay, yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. How punk.
What a fucking poser.
I don't know how you can call yourself a Republican and a punk rocker. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
I mean
Well, it's
that
like
like yeah.
those dumb motherfuckers that have a Gadsden flag and also have a thin blue line flag. Like, those are opposing point of views, right? Like those are in conflict with one
Or
another.
the Punisher logo and you're like, you never read the
Yeah.
comics, did you?
No.
You just think it's a cool skull thing. Yeah, so those that's our review of Feeding of the 5000 by Crass and Less Talk More Rock by Propagandhi. So thanks everybody for listening. Please go to our website, www.prairiepunkpress.com. Don't forget, if you listen to us on YouTube, to make sure you hit that like button. The only it seems like a lot of the only votes we're getting are down votes, even though we have our last episode had almost 200 views, but we only got
Nice.
5 votes and only 3 of them were up votes and one of them was for me.
Hey,
So I'm glad you're
that's more than
listening.
half.
I'm glad you're listening. That's cool shit, but go ahead and just hit that thumbs up real quick while you're on the video.
And thanks all the chuds for watching
Yeah,
and
we got some interesting
commenting.
comments.
Yeah.
but you give us engagement and that helps us in the algorithm. So thank you. Keep giving us that engagement. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell people to listen to our podcast. They can listen to it because they love us. They can listen to it because they hate us. But give us that engagement and give us those clicks. Thank you. You want to go ahead and thank our patrons?
Thank you, Mr. Power, Alec, Johnny, Adam, and Chris. You rule.
Yeah.
I love you. We
Awesome.
love you.
Yeah. Thanks for helping us
You
keep the
rule.
lights on in the studio.
We're playing Meat Fest on Friday, the day before this
That's
podcast
right.
comes out.
So
So
if you're hearing
if
this,
you're
you've
hearing
already
this,
missed it.
you missed it,
You
but
should have listened to our
you
last
can
episode.
go back in time.
Yeah.
I think they have a machine that will take you backwards in time. I don't know what they would call it, but you should use one of those to go
Some
back
sort
to
of
Friday.
machine of time. Thanks for listening, everybody, and listen to us next time. And also go listen to our punk movie review if you're not listening to them already. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.